for leading us. I'm telling you, whose child is that? Amen. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. What a great God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I want to encourage you right now in this very moment. If God's never changed your life, in this very moment, God wants to change you. God wants to change your life. God wants to change your past. God wants to change your future. God wants to change your eternity. In this very moment, you might say, "Preacher, I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sure sounds good." You can do that just by simply right now saying, "God, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. God, be the Lord of my life right now." Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, God hears the cry of a sinner. He hears the cry of that person that's broken and just surrenders all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. I pray this morning that you would allow God to make that change in your life. Hey, if you want to join me this morning in Psalms in the 107th chapter, Psalms 107. I asked Kayla this morning, I said, "Did you get my sermon notes?" Because, I mean, this is just right where we're at this morning. I want to begin this morning. You know, it seems like we do this whole 25 days till Christmas kind of thing and countdown to Christmas and all that. We just kind of skim over Thanksgiving. And I'm under the conviction that we need to thank God more often. That we shouldn't just limit Thanksgiving to one day a year, right? And so I want us over these next several weeks to consider what it is to give God praise and to give God glory and honor and just to say thank you. And it's a trait that we don't really teach very much anymore. Our daughter, several years ago, decided that she was going to really make a concerted effort to teach our grandkids about Thanksgiving and being thankful. And so every evening, as they sat down around the table, they would go around the table and say something that they were thankful for. And my little princess at the time, she was like first grade. And Fridays at school were ice cream day. And so she really liked ice cream days. Well, our son-in-law, her dad, was out of town working, and he was coming home on Friday. And so Thursday evening, as they were sitting around the table saying their thank yous, she said, "I already know what I'm going to say thank you for tomorrow." She said, "I'm going to say, thank God Daddy's home. And if the plane goes Mayday, I'm going to say, thank God for ice cream." Amen? It's always good to have a backup plan, right? Well, we were thankful he made it home, and we were thankful they had ice cream both. So, listen, this morning we can learn a lot about saying thank you. And so look with me, if you will, in Psalms 107, beginning in verse 1. Says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Hey, let me tell you about the one who saved me. Let me tell you about the one who redeemed me. Let me tell you about the one who changed my life. You know, when in a couple of weeks, we'll have our Thanksgiving time, and we'll be having the Lord's Supper here. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." If you've never been redeemed, you have nothing to remember. But if you've been redeemed, then you have something to remember and we have something to praise God about. Listen, the Bible declares here in these first three verses that God's nature is good. And so he acts in accordance to his nature to do what is good, to do what is good for us, to do what is good in us. And this is how he displays his goodness through us, through the good that he does for us and in us. Now, when the Bible speaks of God being abundant in goodness, it's talking about this idea, if you will, of his generosity. It talks about how God is able to do not only all that we ask, but abundantly above all that we ask and even can imagine, right? He can do everything that's completely out of this world. And so why should we praise the Lord? Why should we praise Him? Because He is good. And He says there in verse 2, we should praise Him because we've been redeemed. Listen, I don't care how bad your week's been. I don't care how bad your day is. At the end of the day, you ought to be able to say, thank God I'm saved. Amen? There is absolutely nothing that can happen in your life that will ever change your salvation. Nothing in your life that will ever change what Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's done, it is finished, it is settled, and we can say, praise God, I'm saved. No matter what, right? No matter what. And so here in this passage, we're going to walk through this morning, okay? And it's a good Baptist hymn. It actually has four verses, four stanzas, if you will, okay? And so we're going to break it down by stanzas this morning. And you'll see this in the text here as it plays out. So pick up with me in verse 4. So they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Look what it says here in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. We're going to see that phrase repeated in this text. But notice as we see this in these first verses here, it's kind of the first stanza of the praise. We're reminded here of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That there were at times they were hungry and they were thirsty, and certainly at times their soul fainted within them. They were discouraged and they were despondent and they were ready to give up. Well, what did the Lord do? The Bible says here they were in this wilderness. There was no city to dwell in. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Their soul fainted. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. You ever cried out to the Lord in your trouble? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Most of the time we don't cry out to the Lord until we get in trouble, right? Let's be honest this morning. Come on. I'm not the only big sinner in here, okay? Listen, we're all guilty of that, right? Man, we wait till we're in trouble. And then it says, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that man would give. And said, He satisfied their longing soul. He filled their hungry soul with goodness. In other words, He gave them direction in life. He delivered them from their wanderings. He showed them the right way to go and gave them a home, a dwelling place. There are often times in our lives when we feel like we don't know which way is forward, right? You ever been in that place? Where do you go when you don't know where to go? What do you say when you don't know what to say? Where do you turn when you don't know where to turn? We go to Him, right? And we cry out to Him, and He delivers us. It describes here a life that's not in right relationship with God. And it's because they never truly trusted God. There was all this reservation in their life to whether they were really going to trust and depend on Him. Jesus says in John chapter 14, says, you know God, you also know me. Let not your hearts be troubled, right? Man, when we're in those troubled times, he says, I am what? The way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And when we're in those dark, desolate places, God reveals Himself to us. We cry out to Him. And He guides us in the right way. We're like the blind man. He said, I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. I was lost, and now I'm found. Right? Verse 9 says, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's what God does to us. He satisfies our soul. Now remember, we've talked about the soul at length. The soul is the real you. It's the you that's where your feelings, where your emotions, where your will. It's where you will dwell for all eternity. It's your soul that is eternal, right? And so God gives us this satisfaction deep down in our soul. That's an eternal satisfaction. It's an eternal joy. It's an eternal fulfillment. It's not some ushy-gushy, wishy-washy thing that depends on the circumstances. It is that God gives us this feeling deep in our soul, and it takes root, and it carries us through these difficult times. Listen, when we truly turn to Him and cried out to the Lord in our trouble, as it says, He leads us out of despair. He satisfies our longing soul. He fills our hungry soul. And we can say, it is well with my soul. Can you say it is well with your soul this morning? Can you say it is well with your soul this morning? I'm asking you. Can you say it is well with your soul this morning? Okay. Amen. If it's well with your soul, then you can say, thank you, God. Right? We can say, praise the Lord. We can say, God, you are good. Man, listen, He reveals Himself to those who seek Him, and we trust Him, and we find salvation. Man, the Bible says how generous and how good is our God. How much grace He gives. How much cause do we have to praise God that He brought us out of our lostness and redeemed us. Listen, you might be saying this morning, preacher, you don't know me. Well, guess what? I don't know you either. And you don't know me. But let me tell you, I am a sinner saved by grace. I was a big sinner. In fact, my wife says I'm still struggling sometimes, right? Yours does too. But I can say this morning, praise God for His generous grace and mercy that has saved me. Not of myself, but of Christ Jesus and Him alone. Amen? I can praise Him. But then there's a second stanza to this song. In verse 10, we continue. It says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and He broke their chains in pieces. Notice what He says again in verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. So here the picture changes a little bit. It's a picture of bondage. It's a picture of imprisonment. It's a picture referring to a time when the people and the children of Israel were taken into captivity into Babylon. Okay, that they're imprisoned there. They're under a pagan rulership and all those kind of things. How many of us this morning have gone through life rebelling against the things of God, despising God's word, refusing to obey God, and find ourselves in bondage? Right? I've visited so many times in the jail with guys, and listen, these guys in jail have experienced freedom on the inside. They're still locked up. They still come to Bible study in shackles. But they know on the inside they've been freed. And unfortunately, there's some folks that come to church. You think you're free, and the devil's got you in bondage. And when we recognize that, and we cry out to God, He breaks the bondage. He breaks the chain, and He delivers us. Listen, God oftentimes chastens us. It says here in verse 12, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. God allows us sometimes to suffer the consequences of our own rebellion and our own disobedience and our own disregard to Him. And listen, He called them out of this rebellion. He called them out of that bondage, and He broke their chains. Here's the message that Jesus came with. Jesus sat in the temple and He quoted this verse. Isaiah 61 in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to opening of the prison to those who are bound. I'm telling you this morning, the same Jesus that looses the chains of Peter and Paul when they were in the prison wants to loose your chains this morning. Amen? He's the one who gives us this great freedom. He breaks the gates of bronze, it says here. He cuts the bars of iron in two, and he breaks our chains in pieces and brings us out of darkness and out of the shadow of death. Man, when we were on our way to spiritual destruction, we were headed for an eternity of affliction. But praise God, this morning now we've been delivered. I remember being in that place in my life where I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I remember being in that place. Man, I'm so grateful this morning that God has delivered me out of that place. Man, when I saw no way out, when it was so dark, I couldn't see anything else around me. When there was no hope, when I was going down for the last time, gasping for life, God delivered me and saved me. What a generous, what a glorious, what a good God He was, even though I was rebellious and I had put myself in that place. Now, I've talked to so many people that have found themselves in that place, and they thought, you know what, I got myself into this place. I've got to get myself out of this place. No, friend, you can get yourself in there, but it's only God that can get you out. And that's the goodness and the grace of God at work in our lives. So we can praise God this morning, amen? Praise God that He's a God of second and third chances. Fourth, fifth, somebody says sixth, amen? Both hands, both feet kind of thing, you know, amen? Amen. Praise God that He's broke chains, right? Thank God that He's broke the chains that bind us, that we can have this life of freedom. But then there's a third verse here. Pick up in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Here's this verse again. Here's this phrase. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works in with rejoicing. The Bible says, really, we're just fools that have been delivered, right? I remember seeing a guy one day, and he was doing some crazy stuff, and I gave him a word of caution. He said, well, you know, the Bible says the Lord takes care of fools and babies. And he said, I don't know which one I'm a bigger, if I'm a bigger baby or a bigger fool, or I may just be a foolish baby. Right? But praise God, He delivers us out of our foolishness. Notice what He says there in verse 20. He sent His word, and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In other words, the picture here is of those who have foolishly gone against God. They foolishly sinned. They knew it was wrong. They knew they were going to pay consequences, and they did it anyway. Aren't we hard-headed like that sometimes? Aren't we just that rebellious sometimes? That there were a number of occasions in the history of the Israelites, particularly in the wilderness, when God sent sickness and death to them as a punishment for their refusal to obey Him. And then perhaps maybe that's kind of what He's alluding to here. And how often do we hurt ourselves because of foolish sins? And what happens? We backslide. We compromise. We become weak in our faith. And then we cry out to God, and He heals us, right? Listen to the psalmist's prayer, David, in Psalms 51. In Psalms 51, after David had sinned with Bathsheba, he comes and he repents before God. And he says here in verse 8, he says, make me hear joy and gladness. Notice this, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. David says, acknowledges, because of my willful sin, because of my willful rebellion and disobedience, God has broken my bones. The punishment was severe. Were your parents like mine? You would do something that, you know, was completely by mistake. You were completely innocent. Right? And yet your parents felt like they needed to discipline you. And so they would take a board, a paddle, a tree limb, a belt, whatever they could get their hands on. And they would tell you, I'm going to give you a whooping. That's different than a spanking. I'm going to give you a whooping. And then they would say this always, right? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I had this fleeting thought in my mind. Well, how about give me the belt and let me whip the tar out of you? I'm stupid, not crazy, okay? I remember one time when I was 12 years old, I did something, got in trouble. My mom sent me to my room. I went back there. She came back there with the belt, told me to lay across the bed. And I thought for the first time, I am 12 years old. Mr. Don, I thought, I am too dadgum old to get a spanking. And so my mom started spanking me. And after about the third or fourth lick, I turned around and looked at her and said, are you through yet? She said, I am, but you just sit right here waiting for your dad to come home. And I thought, dear God in heaven, what have I done? From then, mom came at me with the belt. I started squalling, crying, and kicking, you know? Listen, man, there's times in our life when we bring this on ourselves, and God chastens us. The Bible says in Hebrews that God chastens those whom He loves. He doesn't do it because He's mad at us. He doesn't do it because He hates us. He doesn't do it out of anger. Listen, and listen, God disciplines us because He loves us. And when He disciplines us, He causes us to hear Him. And we turn to Him. Cry. Sometimes we're slow learners. But God's patient. And God's long-suffering. And so, again, we see the goodness of God. How generous He is. How He draws us back to Himself at the very moment when we're drifting away from Him. When we find ourselves in that situation, having been healed, having been delivered from our own foolish destruction, we'll be able to agree wholeheartedly here with the psalmist. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and to declare His works with rejoicing. I can praise God this morning that He has delivered me even out of my own foolishness. If you've ever backslidden and you've ever been delivered from that, you know the joy that I'm talking about, right? Praise God for His restoration. Praise God for His restoration. A couple of you. And then we see this last verse. Picking up in verse 23. He says, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens and they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. It's a picture of those sailors out there on the water. And God brings this storm about. And the waves are so high that the boat rises to the heavens and then it sinks again, riding those waves up and down. And can you imagine being on that boat and being seasick? That's what He's describing here. He says their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Can you imagine what they're like when they get off that boat? And it says here, and their soul melts because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. We all are familiar with the storms of life, right? We've been there, right? We've been there tossed to and fro. We've ridden the waves high and sunk low. We've been on those roller coasters. And sometimes life just seems like that. It seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Seems like every time you try to do something to make things better, it just gets worse, right? Anybody ever been at your wit's end? That's where these guys are at. They're at their wit's end. But God is good. God is generous. And in the end, he brings peace. And we look back and we say, man, I thought I would never get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get beyond this. You ever made that statement? Look at the person next to you and say, you did, because you're here. Right? Remember that day? I don't know how I'm going to go on beyond this. I don't know how I can get over this. I don't know how I can get through this. I don't know how I can live another day. You're here. God's delivered you. You see, there's two types of storms in life, we learn. In the New Testament, when Jesus was with his disciples, the Bible says that he was in a boat. And he went down to sleep, and the winds came, and there was this great storm, and they were all afraid. And the Bible says that Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. That's why we know it was an evil wind. Okay? The devil's out there trying to disrupt your life. The devil causes some of those storms. But then we find another occasion when the disciples were in the boat and there was a great storm and they were all scared and Jesus came and walked on the water. Remember that? And he invited Peter to come out and Peter asked him and Jesus allowed him to come out on the water with him. And then Jesus got in the boat and he came. Jesus used that storm. He allowed that storm to teach them faith and to trust. Sometimes in our life we find ourselves in a storm. Man, Satan's trying to destroy our lives. Rob us of our joy. But then there's other times when we find ourselves in storms of life that God's allowed to happen so that he can teach us to walk by faith, to grow our faith, to grow our trust in him. And in these storms of life, though, God is able to deliver us. God is able to set us free. And so here again, we see God is generous. We see God is loving. And we cry out to him in the midst of the storms of life. And he calms the storm so that its waves are still. And then we're glad because they are quiet. But here's something I've learned too. I didn't get all this gray hair for nothing, okay? I've learned this. I've heard it said, and then I've learned it, okay? That in life, you're either in a storm, or you just got out of a storm, or you're headed into a storm. So no matter where you're at in life, you're dealing with storms, and you need God to deliver you. I'm so thankful this morning that God is good, and he does good to his people. Listen, this morning, we have reason to give thanks to God. Amen? We can say, thank you, God, this morning that I'm redeemed, that I'm saved, right? Amen? A couple of you. We can say, thank you, God, this morning that you've delivered me, that you're a God of second and third and fourth chances, right? I can thank you, God, this morning that you have restored me and God, that you've delivered me and God, you've broken the chains that were binding me, right? And you can say, maybe this morning you can say, well, thank God you've delivered me out of the storms of life. God, you've caused the sea to finally be calm. And God, I can trust you for that and I give you praise for that, right? So this morning we have many reasons to give God praise. The Lord is good, he is generous, and he is gracious. But hear this morning. Hear me this morning. He has not only blessed us with plenty, but he has blessed us with the peace to enjoy the plenty. And wait a minute. God's not only blessed us with plenty, but He's blessed us with the peace to enjoy the plenty. See, there's a lot of folks today that's got plenty, but they just don't have the peace to enjoy the plenty. Kind of like a little fellow one day said, you know, money and a puppy are kind of like the same thing. You think you want it until you got it. And then when you got it, you find out it's more trouble than it's worth. God gives us the peace to enjoy the plenty that He's blessed us with. And for that, we can say, praise the Lord. Oh, that men would give praise to God for His goodness. Would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, can you say thank you this morning? Can you say thank you this morning that you've been redeemed? That you've been saved? That God's delivered you out of that life, and that God has set your eternity in heaven with Him forever? Can you say thank you, God, this morning that you're saved? Friend, if you can't praise God this morning for your salvation, this morning, God offers you freely salvation through Christ Jesus. If you would just simply this morning say, God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And God, I understand that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. God, I don't understand why, I don't understand how, I don't understand all the details of that. But God, that preacher up there says that you did that because you loved me. And God, I'm just going to believe that you did. Would you just simply trust Him this morning? Would you ask Him to forgive you, come into your heart this morning? Would you commit your life to Him, allow Him to be the Lord of your life today? You may not be able to thank Him for your salvation when you walked in, but I want you to be sure to be able to thank Him for your salvation when you walk out here today. Others this morning, you know God's delivered you. You know God's broken chains. This morning, you can give Him praise. Father God, today we love you. God, we come humbled in your presence. God, as I read your word, I'm reminded. God, the images of my life flash before my mind. God, I know where I've been. God, I know who I've been. And God, I thank you this morning that I've been redeemed. I thank you, God, this morning that I've been delivered. I thank you, God, that you've been patient, long-suffering with me. God, I thank you this morning that you've calmed the storms in my life. And God, even as we face more storms, God, I can face those storms knowing that my God is in control. And Father, my heart's desire this morning is that every individual in this room, every individual watching, every individual listening right now on the radio, God can say, it is well with my soul. Father, this morning, if it's not well, I pray you'd make it well. I pray, God, that they would cry out to you. God, they would experience your deliverance. I pray they would experience your salvation. God, I pray they would experience your restoration this morning. God, I pray that they would experience a calm in the storms of their life today. And God, that they might praise you. So, Father, today, I love you. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Mike's going to come this morning, lead us in a hymn of invitation. This is your invitation to give praise to God. The prayer altars are open this morning. Maybe you want to just come and say thank you this morning to God. Maybe this morning you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We invite you to come. Man, we want to celebrate that with you. Maybe this morning your church membership is somewhere else. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of what God's doing right here at Trinity. We'd love for you to be a part of God's family here this morning. So we invite you to come. As we stand and as we sing, would you come this morning? Would you surrender your all to Him today? Would you give Him praise today?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
you this morning for just a second. Again, just be mindful of the events that are coming up. We've got those announcements in our worship guide. You take that home, use that as your reminder, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your calendar, and be where you need to be, when you need to be, doing what you need to do, right? And I know that God bless. Listen, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
We're grateful today. Thank you for those who have been listening on V105, for those who have been watching online. We're grateful for those that have been here and worshiping with us today. And David, good to have you guys with us today. Thank you for coming and helping us in our worship today. Thank you guys for doing that. I'm grateful. I saw a recording of Caleb singing several months ago, and I'm like, okay, it's going to happen here, you know. So we're grateful. Thank you for being here with us today.
Amen.
Here's the favorite thing that I get to do. I get to introduce new friends. Okay? I'm going to ask Dale and Ms. John to come up just a second. We'll do all that stuff. But I want to introduce these friends. This is Mr. Dale and Ms. Joanne Oliver. And they've been worshiping with us for several months now. And they've actually been worshiping with us longer than you have. Because they've been watching online for about 6 months or so, through COVID. And they liked what they saw and decided to come in person, coming to join us. And so today they come wishing you and I to be a part of our family here at Trinity. And the church and all God's people said,
amen.
And we're rejoicing. Amen. Give them a real thing. I want other folks that are watching and listening today to know we would love to have you come and be in person as well. Right, church?
Yes.
All right, let them hear, okay? And so we want them to come as well. I want you guys to enjoy what they're doing. Have the opportunity to be your pastor. Be able to serve you and serve people. Put a call on the day. I want you to feel free to call on me anytime, okay? Night or day, all right? This after midnight, call Marcus.
I'm up.
Amen. Hey, let's stand this morning. We're going to be dismissed. I'm going to ask you to come by and just extend the Trinity welcome to them. I know that you're glad to have them in our family this morning. Okay? Hey, how great is our God?
Great.
How great
Amen.
Is our God? Amen. Amen. If he's great, sing it like you think so. Okay? Let's sing this morning.
How great.